Talking Cliff Lee, Justin Verlander, Shane Green, Austin Jackson, and much more today on Fantasy Baseball Today, the podcast. Make sure you watch the video show live noon Eastern. Adam Azer, Scott White, now Melchior. Good morning, Scott. Now.
Good morning, Adam.
Good morning, Adam and Scott.
I see you're wearing your Rejects League.
It's freezing in
here
again. Is it not freezing in here?
No, it's not. I'm actually slightly warm.
Shout out to the Rejects League.
How you feel? No, freaking screw the Rejects League. How you feeling in that short sleeve shirt? Are you cold?
No, I'm fine.
Jeez,
good. But I mean, my car doesn't have air conditioning, so.
Well, it's about to.
Yeah, it's about to.
Scott's getting a car today.
Yep.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That'll be fun. Okay, Jake Patrichka got a save. Matt Cain's on the DL. We'll run down all the news and notes. Take some emails at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. And I'm trying to look up something quickly here. So before we get into Cliff Lee and Justin Verlander, what would you guys like to talk about from yesterday? I want to bring up a broader discussion regarding Lee and Verlander. I hope you guys are excited for that, which I haven't prepared you for. But go on. What would you like to talk about?
All right. Well, I'd like to talk about the thing that I brought up offline just before you started recording us, which is Casey McGee.
Okay.
Another nice game. And really interesting piece by Christina Carl that I saw yesterday about how McGee might not be as easy to dismiss as we've maybe thought he was. Because, you know, he's got the crazy high batting average with runners in scoring position. The crazy high just overall batting average, no power. And this is a guy who we expected, based on what he did in his previous careers, Major League and Japanese, mm-hmm. that he would hit with some power. And he's just not been, he hasn't delivered there, so we figure, well, he can't really deliver elsewhere. But what Carl points out is that he's gotten a lot more selective. He's just taken a very, very different approach. And I think just because of the RBI not being sustainable, that McGee's due to lose some value. But, I mean, he's top 10 in both formats right now.
Eighth in points, ninth in roto.
You know, this deep into the season, and I think I need to give him a little more respect.
Do you like Casey McGee or Lonnie Chisenhall better?
See, I'm making this case for Casey McGee, and I am leaning Chisenhall. But, yeah, okay, I will still go Chisenhall.
Scott, how are you on? You don't like McGee.
No, I don't.
Yeah.
I don't. I mean, like, I wouldn't like any singles hitter at third base, though, you know?
Right.
Like, even if by some crazy circumstance he bats 300 rest of season, I just don't think it's going to amount to much. You know, I still give, like, Chisenhall a better chance of doing that than McGee does with apparently more power.
All right. Okay, so here's the tweet I wanted to come up with here for Cliff Lee. So this section, just talking about Lee and Verlander, is called Old Farts, even though Verlander's not really that old, and Lee's only old in baseball years. But Andy Martino of the New York Daily News tweeted that Cliff Lee didn't have much to say about trades, but he did end his interview session with an emphatic fart, of which he seemed quite proud. So I hate to do toilet humor on this podcast.
No, you don't.
But that did happen, and I watched the video this morning.
Well, how does he know he was proud? Did he smell it?
I don't know. I guess he had that look on his face like, yeah, I just did
that.
So
who cut the... Hang on, I need to be careful how I word this. Who cut the video so that part was left in it?
See, that's not at all where I thought you were
going. I don't
know.
I just think it's like a video that's online. I'm looking at a Comcast Sportsnet video right here, and at the end of it, he just passes gas. It's pretty funny.
Wow,
it's good to see that Cliff Lee has something in common with my Rhodesian Ridgeback, who's also, you know, very proud of herself.
Is that right?
In situations, yeah.
Yeah, glad I'm not a pet owner. Okay. So Cliff Lee yesterday gives up 12 hits in 5 2/3 innings, 6 earned runs, and making his first start in a while. Where do you guys rank him rest of season?
See, I've got him in the top 10 now, but he's not going to stay there. No. In fact, I probably should have dropped him a few days ago. I dealt him in the Tout Wars League.
How do you avoid not making too much out of one start, though? Because, I mean, I get it. Like, there are other concerns with Lee. But yeah. if a lot of guys we'd give a long leash to making their first start off a long layoff.
But Al said on this very podcast just a few days ago that he just kind of has a feeling it's going to go poorly for Cliff Lee, which is why I was surprised you had him in your top 10. Like, after you said that, I kind of thought it through and was like, yeah, I could definitely see a scenario where this goes badly. We don't often deal with pitchers coming back from elbow strains. It's usually a sprain, which often leads to surgery. And so it's not that, but we don't really know exactly how this is going to work. And then he got roughed up in his first start. So I actually lowered him in my rankings, but before the start, I lowered him from 17th to, I think, 21st. So we're still talking about high-end, must-start, all of that. But he was in my top 10 before the injury, and he's not going to be back there just yet.
All right, some of the guys that Scott has in front of Cliff Lee are Jordan Zimmermann, Corey Kluber, Sonny Gray, Garrett Richards. Al, where do you think you'll move Cliff Lee down?
Yeah, that's where I'm looking. I would say looks like about mid-teens. I would probably put him behind Granke, who I've got 15th.
Mm-hmm.
Got Leto 16th. There's the neighborhood. I would say, as of right now, probably 19th between John Lester and Jake Arrieta.
Let me go right to Leto's here. The guy's not striking anyone out. And that's usually something that concerns you. So
yeah.
why do you not share that concern like you had concerns about Anibal Sanchez? Right now, Matt Leto's, he had 3 strikeouts yesterday. And 26 and 45 and two-thirds since coming off the DL.
Yeah, well, it may be time to adjust him as well. But yeah, I do like to give guys a chance, particularly when they're coming off the DL. Now, what makes Cliff Lee different is the circumstance, and not just the type of injury, but the fact that he may be, and again, this is very speculative, but Lee may be getting rushed back because of the trade deadline being a little over a week away. Just the whole situation just doesn't look good. And I could be completely off base, but it's just smells bad enough.
Nice.
Yeah. Totally unintended there. That I am willing to drop Lee. Whereas, Leto's, I've been he took his time coming back, and he's got this track record of being a pretty good strikeout guy and a very good control guy. And I've been willing to give him the benefit of the doubt, but it's been long enough, as you pointed out, he may need to be adjusted too.
And his velocity has been way down since he came back, just from previous standards. Leto's I'm talking about. It had gone up over the last couple starts. I don't know what this last start looked like, but it was definitely,
I'll tell you,
worse than usual.
Brooks Brothers.
Yeah, so I don't have Leto's as high as I would if I was convinced he's completely healthy. He's still top 35, I'm pretty sure. And part of that's because starting pitcher, I've said this recently, and when I did the once-a-week really thorough update of my rankings last night, it became even more apparent. Starting pitcher, like, it's starting to look bad. After, I moved Yordano Ventura way down. Going a little further down, somebody like Nathan Eovaldi, I don't even really feel like he's mixed league caliber anymore. Phil Hughes, I tried to move him down, but you can only move him down so far. I moved Rick Porcello way up because compared to what else is there, he's looking better. Tanner Roark, I moved way up. I think he's in my top 45 now. So it's just out after the top 50 or so, it's like everybody's scratching and clawing, I feel like, to fill out the back of their rotation.
All right, Leto's velocity had a little bit of a bump in his previous start at Cincinnati on the 11th and went back down to where it had been earlier, averaging 91.52 on the four-seam and about 87 on the slider. So, its velocity's down from last year by a good 3 miles per hour, 2.5-3 miles per hour. Justin Verlander. So Justin Verlander said he looked at some pictures and it fixed his, I think, his release point and his fastball control was really good. But that means nothing to me coming from Verlander because we dealt with this last year and already this year. It's like a new thing every game. Well, I sound this and I did this and I really worked on this.
Like, you sound like his boss or something.
He just says that crap all the time. And watching this game, like I watched, 3 innings or so, including his bad inning, where he gave up two runs and got really knocked around. And there were actually some really hard-hit foul balls there. He's just not the same pitcher. 6 2/3, 6 hits, 3 runs, three walks, 5 strikeouts. I think he had 9 swinging strikes, which is good. But I guess I want to bring up this thing about pitchers, and it seems like with Verlander, with Lincecum, Roy Halladay was a guy I brought up. I don't know if Cliff Lee's going that route, but I feel like they are losing it like that, right? Like one season to the next, it's like they're a completely different pitcher. And I'm wondering if you guys think there's anybody who could fit, who could be that guy next year. And for me, it's Wainwright. You know, I'm scared. If they make another deep postseason run, like I'm scared of Adam Wainwright.
That's exactly the first name I thought of.
And it's like, I'm not saying he's going to suck or anything, but he's a guy that I'd probably skip drafting next year. Yeah?
Just because?
One, because I don't usually take pitchers that high.
Yeah.
Two, because I don't like to take risks. Sabathia is another guy. Good example of a guy who just lost it immediately.
Yeah, but like how many great years did they put together before
right.
it happened?
You don't know when it's going to happen, and I've been kind of worried. I don't know if I've ever voiced this. I've been kind of worried about Felix Hernandez. Because
he just seems to get better.
And it's weird.
He loses velocity and he gets better.
Yep. And I don't know if he's an exception or not, but he also is a guy who never pitches in the postseason.
Yeah.
But I don't know if there's something we can look at, deep postseason runs, year after year of pitching 220 innings or whatever it is, but it just seems like there are pitchers that just, it's unbelievable how quickly they lose their velocity and they lose their value.
Yeah, well, I just worry about Wainwright because of the inconsistency of strikeouts. And, you know, he hasn't been a tremendous strikeout guy over the years. He's been very good. But yeah, just a little bit of erosion there in the whiff and strikeout rates, that, along with the innings concerns that you're raising, that it does worry me a little bit.
Plus, there was that meatball he threw to Derek Jeter.
that
got me worried.
That was the last straw.
Yeah. You have to question his ethics and his character. Anything to say about Verlander, guys?
Not really beyond what you were saying. I all these things that he brings up after every start.
Yeah.
I don't think he's actually doing them. They're just kind of alibis to cover up the fact that he's with Kate Upton all the time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Monday standouts. I got Jake Petrichka getting the save. And why not?
Yeah. You know, there's after I really on the podcast, the show, and then written analysis on the website, I really, you know, propped up Putnam. In the process of writing that analysis, I took a second look at that Robin Ventura quote about how, you know, he's not picking a specific closer. And kind of the second half of the quote was, I like Putnam against left-handers. So that's why I brought him in. He brought him in for the one-out saves Saturday to strike out Jason Castro, a left-handed hitter, with two runners on base. But the second runner got on base before the second out of the inning. So he left Petrichka in to get another out and then went to Putnam. It's not like
right.
Petrichka put the second guy on. So that got me thinking, maybe it's like a lefty-righty thing.
And yesterday, Petrichka was scheduled to face three righties. He faced a pinch hit lefty, but it was three righties due up for Petrichka.
Yeah. Which would obviously favor Petrichka as long as he can pull it off. But, that's not, you don't want a platoon situation from a bullpen where the relievers aren't very good to begin with and the team's not going to get a high number of save chances, probably.
And Al mentioned yesterday on our video show, Matt Thornton could be back soon, and he could be closing.
He did it again.
Matt Lindstrom could be back soon, and he could be closing. And Matt Thornton is so bad, by the way. But
I think Lindstrom's still a month away, though. I followed up on that, and he's
a month.
He's still a ways away.
Because, I saw something, maybe not as recently as you did, that was more like 2 weeks, but...
Yeah.
At this point in the season, That's a substantial difference.
Yeah.
You're going to invest in Putnam or Petrichka.
I can't believe I keep saying Thornton. anybody else stand out to you guys yesterday?
Yeah, actually.
Did you watch Shane Green, anyone?
I did not.
The dude can pitch. I mean, he's got nasty stuff, and this line is very deceiving. If you want to believe in Shane Green, do not drop him because he gave up 4 runs on 5 hits. Thornton came in. Matt Thornton, the actual Matt Thornton, came in, and he gave up two of the runs for him on inherited runners. Shane Green himself made three errors. The Yankees made five errors. The pitch count got really high, but he was pitching very well.
Well, and I didn't watch that start in part because I've watched a whole lot of Miles Michaelis lately and wanted to kind of give him a break. But looks like he did all right.
He did, yeah. I mean, the Yankees lineup was terrible. It's kind of like looking at Peralta. Peralta faced the Reds yesterday with a pathetic Reds lineup, and Michaelis faced the Yankees yesterday with no Teixeira, with Brian Roberts hitting fifth, I believe. So,
well, it's funny you bring
take
up
it with a grain of salt.
It's funny you bring up Peralta because for most of the season I've been linking him and Eovaldi.
Yeah.
And they both, you know, got off to great starts. Eovaldi's fallen off. Peralta looked like he was falling off, but now this is two really good seven-inning starts in a row for Peralta. You said it was against a bad lineup. Okay, maybe, but it's still a lot more than Eovaldi's shown, and it really distinguishes them in the rankings now, I think, because there's like this line I was talking about earlier where the pitchers below it, you're just owning them because you can't find anything better, and the pitchers above it, you're actually happy to own. And I think Peralta stays above that line. I don't know where I have him in my rankings, but while I had been dropping him and Eovaldi together, this kind of separated the two of them.
Al's got him 65th, and Scott has Peralta 71st in the rankings. And all right, so then if are there pitchers out there that you guys think could be, over the last 2 months, difference makers?
Ruby De La Rosa is the first one I think of.
Okay.
We've mentioned Odorizzi before. And
yeah, plenty.
I think his ownership percentage is high enough that it's probably not worth including him in this discussion, but I think he could be.
How about Matt Shoemaker? You know, I know the final line didn't look good, but really it was Adam Jones that crushed him with two home runs. Other than that, he dominated he pitched well against the Orioles and no walks, 10 strikeouts. And Shoemaker has 72 strikeouts and 69 and a third with only 15 walks. So you got to like the ratios there. He's 28% owned.
I do like the ratios. Picked him up in a few leagues this week. Some of that is because of the two-start week. I have two concerns with Shoemaker, and one is just that he's going to be used as a swing man, and maybe even Santiago stays in the rotation. I think Shoemaker's better and would hope that he would stay in over Santiago when Wilson comes back. But he's been very, you know, helpful to the Angels in that role. And that start against the Orioles is sort of a microcosm, I think, of what Shoemaker could do the rest of the way, which is a lot of strikeouts, good whip, good control, and he's going to get hammered by the long ball sometimes. Mm-hmm. And that was even a home start. So granted, against a very good power-hitting team and taken deep twice by a very good power hitter. But that's what I do worry about Shoemaker. I think that could be a fairly typical start for him.
Are you guys done with Drew Hutchison?
Yeah.
Six earned runs in 2 2/3.
Yep.
Scott, done?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. I know, though, that like if he goes the next three starts, two earned runs, three earned runs, six, seven innings, about a K per inning, he's going to be right back up there. It's not hard to make a move up the starting pitcher rankings when you get down to where I have him now, which I think is outside the top 90.
But he's better on the road, too. That was a home start last night. He got beat up by the Red Sox.
Yeah.
All right, how about Austin Jackson? Al, I know you want... Oh, go ahead.
Sorry. Just want to throw one more entrant in the difference makers. The guy I think of as the rich man's Matt Shoemaker, and that's Danny Salazar.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. I mean, Salazar, Gossman, De La Rosa,
yeah.
I think they're all owned in less than half our leagues. Maybe Gossman, maybe about 55%. But probably makes sense to take a shot on them, especially if you can just stash them until they start, you know, consistently pitching well. Whatever. Austin Jackson moved to the leadoff spot in the order, and over the last 21 days, he's the number 13 outfielder in points, number 17 in Roto. Four straight two-hit games for him. He scored 13 runs during that stretch, those last 21 days, which is less than 21 games because we had the All-Star break. So 13 runs for him. And 13 runs in 18 games as a leadoff hitter this year for Austin Jackson. So it seems to be making a difference. Thoughts? 71% owned.
He was somebody that I think even if he had stayed in the middle of the order, just seemed to be due for some improvement in sort of the anti-Casey McGee, and that he had to hit better going forward with runners in scoring position. Thought there could be more power. But given the drastic change since he's moved to the leadoff spot, that just might be a comfort zone for him. And certainly root for the Tigers to keep him there, even though that's kind of going to hurt his RBI total.
Yeah, but he's been a good fantasy option when he's been a leadoff hitter.
Mm-hmm.
Scoring so many runs. Would you rather have Austin Jackson or Kobe Rasmus?
Jackson.
Yep, Jackson.
James Jones.
I'd rather have Jackson.
I would, too. And, you know, all these guys also, besides Rasmus, they don't bunt with two outs when they have a lead. So,
yeah. Corey Dickerson.
Oh, Corey Dickerson is the one to own.
Over Austin Jackson?
Yeah.
I'll agree.
I will agree. I recently moved Dickerson up into my top 30.
All right, fine. Charlie Blackman or Austin Jackson?
Blackman.
And I'll go Jackson there.
Hey, wow. Okay.
I got Blackman at the top 25.
Injuries, news, and notes. Matt Cain's on the DL with an elbow injury. Yusmeiro Petit will pitch tonight. Is it going to be short-term for Cain?
I suspect. I don't know of a timeline at this point, but given that before he went on the DL, that the team was sort of minimizing it, I tend to think it could be a minimum stay.
Justin Morneau on the DL with a neck injury. Ben Paulson was called up.
Yeah. All right.
Had a good game yesterday, drove in a run.
Sure.
Brandon Belt on the 7-day concussion DL, and Adam Duvall started at first base last night and went 2-for-5 with his second home run in 23 at-bats. Duvall or Paulson? NL only. Just because.
Okay. I will go I'll go Duvall there.
Yeah, I will too.
Evan Gattis returned. Christian Bethencourt was sent down, but Freddie Gonzalez said Bethencourt is Atlanta's catcher of the future.
Hmm. So, makes you wonder what Gattis's future holds.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Hayward and Justin Upton are free agents after next season, so maybe it's as simple as that. He becomes an outfielder after that.
Bethencourt is to catching as Dippin' Dots is to ice cream.
Bethencourt will have been the Atlanta Braves catcher of the future for the next 30 years. Then. Eric Hosmer was scratched with a sore hand.
Do you like Dippin' Dots?
I used to. Now there are just so many good ice cream options that it's like, how can you like go to Cold Stone and then think about having Dippin' Dots?
Well, I don't know. Like when I go to a Marlins game, like, I don't know.
You like
them? Dippin' Dots are good.
They sure
They're
are.
Good, yeah. But yeah. I mean, I'm saying, Baskin and Robbins, Cold Stone, Dippin' Dots, a frozen yogurt place are all lined up next to each other.
Well, how often, like, how many places can you get Dippin' Dots? There's not, like, a Dippin' Dots store, is there?
No, not that I know of. But that's what I'm saying. Like, the only reason you get them is because usually they're the only ice cream you can get.
Yeah.
I could see going for Dippin' Dots over just more traditional ice cream.
Really?
Yeah.
It depends. I eat a lot of ice cream, so yeah, I guess maybe the novelty wears off after a while.
I didn't realize that you were an ice cream guy. What's your brand?
My brand? I would have to say right?
Top 5.
Bluebell is.
Bluebell?
Bluebell's awesome, man.
Oh, okay. I never had it.
You're missing out. You'd probably eat ice cream more if you did.
I'm not really a dessert guy.
Yeah, I know.
Eric Hosmer was scratched with a sore hand. Salvador Perez's groin will hinder his running, but not his hitting or fielding. Yasiel Puig and Hanley Ramirez were out yesterday. They were both hit by a pitch on their hand over the weekend. Puig was available to pinch hit, and Hanley Ramirez was not. But the x-rays were negative. The Niners. The Giants signed Dan Uggla to a minor league contract. That'd be the San Francisco Giants, not the New York Giants. Mark Teixeira. Well, nobody cares about Uggla, right? I mean, I know they need a second baseman.
Nah.
But, all right. Mark Teixeira will be out at least 3 days with a lat strain. Troy Tulowitzki was out again with a sore thigh. He says he doesn't think he needs to go on the DL, as Drubal Cabrera left yesterday's game with back spasms. Michael Wacha could begin throwing in 2 weeks. Adam Eaton has been playing with a broken middle finger. He broke it earlier this month. But he now has an eight-game hitting streak.
Oh, you got the numbers from what, the last eight games? You want to hear the numbers?
No, 305 in July, 338 on base, 424.
You got the numbers in July. You want to hear his numbers in his last 31 games?
Yeah.
331 batting average, 8 doubles, 6 triples, 5 steals, and that's 31 games. So You know, you think in terms of 150, multiply it by 5, you're talking a 40 double 30 steal pace during that stretch. And the steals are really the most encouraging thing to me.
25 steals.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Yeah, the steals have been multiplication tables.
You're not really
useful.
A thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, this is the kind of Eaton I was hoping to see from the beginning. Maybe with more walks, too. That those haven't really improved during that stretch. But if this is the start of a mid-season breakthrough, then you're going to want to own him during it. I know he's mostly owned anyway, but he's available in some leagues. I think he might be worth taking a flyer on.
Even in Roto or specifically in points?
Even in Roto.
All right, Fox Sports reports that Detroit is checking in on Jonathan Papelbon, and they've just been linked to so many relievers that I think if you own Joe Nathan, you might want to start thinking about one of those eighth-inning guys that could become a closer. I myself am doing that in my Joe Nathan league. Henderson Alvarez is going to start Thursday at Houston. Josh Beckett will start tonight at Pittsburgh. Eric Ibar pinch hit yesterday, hopes to start tonight. The Tigers were in an NL park. They had Victor Martinez at first, Miguel Cabrera at third. They had J.D. Martinez and Nick Castellanos on the bench, and Rajay Davis starting against a lefty.
Boo.
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
Speaking of boo, Ben Revere is losing playing time to Grady Sizemore. And that really angers me. That's ridiculous. And I know Revere had an ankle injury, but I don't like this one.
No, it helps the Phillies get some experience into their lineup.
That's what they need.
I mean, that's terrible. Who wants Sizemore? Revere is so much more valuable in fantasy.
In fantasy, though, you can make the argument not really in real life.
Maybe. Yeah. Alex Rios could be back in a few days. Shin-Soo Choo played the outfield last night, went 2-for-5 with a double at the Yankees. Speaking of another thing that makes me angry, what the hell, Atlanta? Tommy LaStella.
Yeah. I knew you were going to get angry about
that. He bats second, and he goes 0-for-5. Like, stop. It's stupid. He can't bat second. He's the worst number two hitter ever.
It's not stupid. He has, I don't know if it's the highest on-base average in the lineup, but close to it.
Oh, but yeah, that's all when he's hitting seventh or eighth.
I know.
Andrelton Simmons bats eighth last night.
I agree. It hasn't worked out, but it's worth revisiting every now and then to see if something will change.
Well, Simmons was doing very well.
Not recently. Not very recently, yeah.
Yeah, fine. But his value was helped by batting second.
No doubt.
So that angers me.
Yeah.
Justin Upton was in the lineup. Robinson Cano was in the lineup. Shane Victorino was not. Boston's playing 7 straight games on turf. Fox Sports reporting Tommy Malone asked Oakland for a trade, but they're not likely to trade him. ESPN reporting that Philadelphia has told teams Cole Hamels is not available. Roenis Elias left yesterday's game with a forearm cramp. Giovanni Soto left with groin tightness. Seattle sent Justin Smoke to AAA to make room for Erasmo Ramirez, who will start tonight against the Mets. And Jay Bruce sad he's 0 for his last 15. The Boston Red Sox put up 14 runs on the Toronto Blue Jays. 14-1 was the final. Here's what happened. Brock Holt went 2-for-6 with a double and a run. Dustin Pedroia went 0-for-4. Only Red Sox starter without a hit. David Ortiz homered twice and said he's going to get hotter than Jamaica in August. He said that before he homered twice. Mike Napoli went 3-for-5 and homered and doubled, and he has the highest walk rate of his career. How about that? Daniel Nava hit 3 singles. Steven Drew went 2-for-4 with a homer and 4 RBI. 3 two-hit games in his last 4 for Steven Drew. Xander Bogart singled 3 times, and Jackie Bradley Jr. went 2-for-5 with a double and a steal. Any Red Sox you'd like to talk about?
I'd like to talk about Mike Napoli, and I'm updating the RBI total for him because I haven't looked at that in a while. It's still, just 36. But aside from that, he is having a heck of a season. As you said, career high walk rate, hitting the ball with power as he typically does.
Yeah.
And it's just, bad batting average with the runners in scoring position. Other than that, it's been pretty awesome.
Sounds like a buy low to me.
Yeah. Yeah, potentially. I mean, the point total, I like the percentages. The point total hasn't really been there. I guess it's maybe related to the RBI. But if things begin to turn around for the Red Sox lineup, and they certainly have the personnel to make that happen, then he could be a nice find.
Here's some food for thought for you guys. Does Dominic Brown have a great stretch left in him?
Well, I mean, if he hit 15 home runs rest of season, I wouldn't fall out of my chair. But at this point, I'm not expecting much.
Would you rather own Dominic Brown or Austin Jackson?
Austin Jackson.
Dominic Brown or Logan Morrison?
I'd rather own Brown.
I suppose I would too, but that's really how little expectation I have.
Yeah.
But I really had to think about it.
Yeah.
Does Billy Butler have one great stretch left in him?
I'm willing to say he does. I don't know if it's enough of one that, particularly in roto leagues, you should feel like you have to hang on to him. I don't think there's a big power surge coming necessarily, but he can make up some points in batting average, I feel like.
Does Willie Rosario have one great stretch left in him?
I would think so. Keep waiting.
Who has a brighter future? Travis d'Arnaud, who was robbed of a homer last night, or Mike Zunino, who hit a homer last night?
I think d'Arnaud does. Both have power, but d'Arnaud's got the better plate discipline.
Does he?
I think he does.
He's certainly shown it this year. But in the minors, it wasn't even close. Like, d'Arnaud was bad plate discipline.
Really?
Zunino was great. So I don't know if that's going to...
Early on, Zunino had good plate discipline, but by the time he reached AAA, it would sort of disintegrate.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to eventually, like... I don't know. I could see that... I kind of get the sense Zunino was rushed, and when he reaches the point where he's no longer rushed, will he be a plate discipline guy? I could see that happening.
So who would you guys rather own in a dynasty?
I guess d'Arnaud, but... It's close for me.
Yeah, I don't know for me.
And do you have faith in Danny Santana?
I do, because he had won me over before he went on the DL, and he needs a little time, I think, to get back in his groove. But I finally was buying into the batting average for him.
All right. Let's do some five up, one down. Five up number one is Jason Hayward, who over his last 17 games is batting .309, only one home run, 9 RBI, 10 runs, 2 steals, 4 doubles. I was surprised that Jason Hayward in this, what looks like a pretty lousy season, .256, 9 homers, 39 RBI, 49 runs, 11 steals, and really he stopped stealing since they moved him down in the order. He's still the number 21 outfielder in points and number 32 in roto. I was kind of surprised by that.
Scored a lot of runs.
Yeah.
But, yeah, other than that...
But even now, I mean, 49 runs,
it's obviously not a 100-run pace or maybe not even 90, but it's still a goodly amount.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Anything to say? Like, we've seen Hayward have stretches. I feel like after the All-Star break, maybe last year, 2 years ago, he was unbelievable.
It was last year, I think. They moved him to the leadoff spot, and he just took off.
Sorry. Deadspin headline. Cliff Lee was bad and then farted. That's just kind of funny.
That sums it up.
Yeah. I don't know. I just noticed that headline. Anything to say about Hayward?
Yeah, I feel like I need to drop him too because he's certainly young enough and has had the good stretches before that he could have a good one left in him this year, but... I've just grown impatient of waiting around.
Well, wait a second. He's doing great. Like, that was... Where do you have him that you feel like the need to drop him? I feel like if he's this productive in fantasy with these kinds of numbers, like, if anything, that's encouraging to me.
Yeah, part of it is I'd like to break down how he's doing it. Is maybe a function of playing time? Is it the runs? Because it's just the overall production just isn't exciting me.
Right, I mean, there's two ways to look at it. What Scott said, not really having that good of a year, still a top 32 outfielder. And then I think you can look at it negatively, like in his last 17 games, he's hitting pretty well. He's batting .309. He has one home run and 2 steals. So he's obviously not going to really help the roto owner that much.
Yeah, but I would have guessed he wouldn't have been that high in roto to begin with, and you're saying he's 32nd. It is a lot clearer, his value in points. That's true for every player. It's clearer what a player's value is in points than roto because a player is worth the number of points he scores.
Well, is he now a guy that you think is format specific?
I would have guessed he was before you told me he was the 32nd outfielder in Roto, and obviously you're starting five outfielders in Roto, so it's pretty safe to say you're starting him.
Yeah.
If he never, if the home run, if the steals stop and he doesn't pick up his home run pace, then I think he will become format specific.
Mm-hmm.
But if that does happen, I think he's a must start in head to head league still. I think the peripherals make up for his shortcomings in the traditional 5x5 categories.
All right, that's Jason Hayward. Speaking of format specific, I just wanted to point out that Trevor Plouffe has 7 doubles and is slugging .508 in July. He's 46% owned. Would you rather own Plouffe or Casey McGee in a points league?
I'm taking Plouffe.
Yeah, here's where it is a dilemma, because Plouffe is a doubles machine this year. But McGee's making a lot of contact. So McGee ranks higher currently?
Yeah, I think so, because Plouffe had the DL stint, right?
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Well, okay, I guess I'm leaning Plouffe there. But, you know, you're trading off one points league goodie for another, basically.
All right, Torii Hunter. Last 21 days, top 4 outfielder. He homered yesterday. He has a .297 OBP this year. That's crazy. But he doesn't strike out much either. So anyway, you guys have anything to say about Torii Hunter? He just keeps on producing. He's batting .365 with 5 homers in July.
Yeah, you just start him till he stops producing. I think that's kind of the way it's gone the last few years for him.
Talked about Austin Jackson. Who would you guys rather have, Jackson or Hunter?
I'd rather have Jackson.
I'd rather have Hunter, actually.
Ooh, fight.
Not really. I mean, I just think Hunter's batting average and power potential is better.
And Adam Jones homered twice at the Angels. He is the number 8 outfielder in points, number 7 in Roto. First round pick next year? Back end of the first round?
That's roughly where I'd take him. I'm going to hedge and say early second round. I just couldn't see taking him 11th or 12th, but I could see him, you know, on the, if I forgot the 11th pick, I could see coming back at 14.
Maybe. We kind of listed the first round out yesterday, right? I don't think he was in it.
No, he would be for me, though, I think. Yeah. Maybe I think like 12th.
I was going to say, when we got to 12, I said, maybe Adam Jones. So
I think Adam Jones is one of the safest, most predictable players in fantasy, and I don't mind that when you're talking about, you know, the cargos and the two lows and whatever.
He is very safe. But you're settling for second round production in the first round, I feel like, if you do that.
Yes, I think that's a fair point.
Yeah.
One down, Nolan Arenado. Since coming off the DL, he's batting .204 with no walks and 6 strikeouts. On the year, .283, 6 home runs, 31 RBI, 20 doubles. Thoughts on Arenado? Any concerns here?
Sure, at this point, I mean, initially I just really wrote it off, but after 14 games, given that I thought he may have overperformed a little bit before he went on the DL, and given that maybe there's just something that's still not right with him, I am concerned.
All right. Arenado or Plouffe?
Arenado.
Yeah, I think he maybe should stick more to the Sandoval, Machado, Aramis Ramirez range with your comparisons there.
With Arenado?
Yeah.
The only thing about Arenado is, like, I thought he had, what, a 29-game hitting streak? I thought his numbers should have been better. Like, it was somewhat of an underwhelming hitting streak.
Yeah. Yeah. He doesn't walk much, so that kind of makes him worse than you imagine him being in points leagues. But he makes a lot of contact, too, so it's not like...
Over the last 2 months, I mean, are you expecting him to have a big finish, Nolan Arenado?
Sure, because I think if there's a health issue here, hopefully in time it gets resolved, or there's another DL stint. But I think he's a lot better than this. So, I expect a relatively big finish for Arenado.
I mean, like, you can't really argue with these numbers. 28-game hitting streak, he batted .360. .383, .568. But, you know, it's a lot of doubles. That's 28 games with a .360 batting average and 4 home runs.
I mean, I just don't think you can conclude a lot from saying he had a 29-game hitting streak because, yeah, how the hits get distributed tells you more than the number of games that he did it over.
Yeah, it's better than I thought. 11 doubles, 4 homers, 568 slugging. I can't really bitch about that. All right, how would you rank these three pitchers? Willy Peralta, Matt Latos, John Lackey.
Latos, Lackey, Peralta.
Agreed.
Who are your top three in this group? Jonathan Neese, Drew Hutchison, Ryan Vogelsong, Tom Kohler, Shane Green, Matt Shoemaker, Bud Norris, Jeremy Guthrie.
Neese, Vogelsong, and Hutchison.
Neese, Shoemaker, and somebody flip a coin.
I don't have one.
Shane Green.
I think I'll actually go, yeah, it comes down between Green, Kohler, and Vogelsong, so you need a three-sided coin. And I guess I'll go Vogelsong, too. Not too excited about any of the three, really.
Let's see what John Neese was doing yesterday velocity-wise. John Neese, or Jonathan Neese.
He was coming
89.57, which is the same as his previous start.
Yeah. He's coming back from shoulder. How did they classify that? Shoulder tightness? Shoulder inflammation?
No idea.
Something very unspecific.
Yeah, his velocity's down, though. Usually more like a 92-mile-per-hour thrower. 91, 92. In the bullpen, Joe Nathan got a save, gave up a hit. Santiago Casilla got a save, gave up a hit. 14 straight scoreless outings for Santiago Casilla. And in deep leagues, Jordani Valdespin has been playing second base for the Marlins.
Yeah, good NL pickup.
And cool. Miles Michaelis, we talked about earlier, 1% owned. You know, we watched that first start that he made, and Al and I were like, hey, he's got good stuff.
Yeah.
And he does.
He does, and he throws strikes, and that was part of the reason that I went and I got him in some deeper leagues because I get tired of these guys that have these control issues from time to time, and you get somebody who throws strikes with as much consistency as he does, and I'm willing to give him a try, and I still think that those two horrible back-to-back starts could have been a little fluky for him.
I got to be honest. I hope tomorrow there are more compelling, sexy storylines than there were today.
Cliff Lee farted. What more do you want?
I want more flatulence on Tuesday night. Baseball. Okay, emails, fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. From Eric, in a dynasty league, do you prefer Corey Dickerson or Charlie Blackman?
I think we kind of answered that earlier.
We?
Well, because we talked about our rankings. And
yeah, you said you moved Dickerson in the top 30. I said I have Blackman in the top 25. You know where I have Dickerson? 40. I mean, dynasty league, it's not. Those are single season rankings.
But. Yeah. I do like Dickerson better this year, next year, and probably the year after that, too.
Yeah, probably do, too.
You think Dickerson will overtake Blackman?
Well, no. I think they'll both be regular parts of the Rockies outfield for years to come. Okay. But I do think Dickerson's upside's higher.
Michael in Oregon, dear Joe, Lewis, and Davis. Those are walk-off World Series hits, so it's Luis, not Lewis, my bad. All right, it's Joe Carter, Luis Gonzalez. Who's Davis? What am I missing?
Davis Love the Third.
Yeah.
I don't know. Not many. That's like a
walk-off World Series hits. The only other one I can think of is Pirates Yankees. What's his name?
Oh,
the least deserving Hall of Famer of all
Mazeroski.
Time. Yeah.
No, I'm totally stumped here.
Okay, good.
Chili?
But these are all first names.
Yeah, well, when you put Chili?
I don't think Chili Davis had a walk-off.
I'm trying to think of Davis's.
I don't know.
Michael asks, he says, Adam, perhaps you can make Bryce Harper into a man, too. That is a football podcast reference. I understand Harper's only a few weeks back from a thumb injury, but he has to do something this year to warrant his ADP, right? And actually, it's kind of random that Michael sent this question, because I don't know, I was just thinking about it. Like, I wonder if Bryce Harper, if his mentality, if his approach is going to hold him back and limit him from reaching his potential. Because he'll say something stupid or he'll have a bad attitude. And I don't know that, like,
really harp on him for this.
I don't know if his intangibles, that was good,
yeah.
are what they need to be. And I don't want to sound like a like a stupid baseball writer or something. But seriously,
I think you kind of sound like a stupid baseball.
But for
baseball
him to come
writer.
Off the DL and question his manager like one day after and question the Washington lineup.
Well, the first thing I thought of when I saw that he was not in yesterday's lineup was, well, this isn't the lineup that he recommended.
You know, is that going to hold him back from reaching his potential?
Well, I mean, if it continues his whole career, yeah. But he's, what, 21 years old? And, has just gotten so much attention, so much admiration.
Yeah, I know.
He's still growing up, I feel like. And I think there's enough good qualities he's demonstrated that, you know, it's not like he's just a sour person, I don't feel like.
Do you think he will live up to his ADP, you know, first or second round for the rest of the season?
Well, no. If I had to guess, no. But I pointed out on the show yesterday, he recently made some changes to his mechanics too, standing more upright, lowering his hands, blah, blah, blah. Might not be a big deal, but we've seen with Jason Worth both this year and last, it was a big deal for him. And Harper's done well since the change. So obviously the upside is immense. And if he did perform that well, you know, it wouldn't be a surprise. He's a top 20 outfielder for me, which isn't first or second round caliber, but it's still very high.
He has one steal this year in 38 games and 3 attempts. I'd like to see some more steals, Mr. Yeah. Harper.
By the way,
can't feel it.
David Freese. I think it was a autocorrect or typo.
What was?
Oh, David.
Yep.
He had a walk-off World Series. That wasn't game 7. That wasn't the deciding game, was it?
I think it was game 6, if I remember
right. To send it to game 7. Whereas Joe Carter and Luis Gonzalez won.
That's my guess.
Oh, you could be right. But they won the World Series with their walk-off hits. I don't think David Freese did. Okay, here Jeff wants to know if he should claim Danny Duffy in his 12. I have the fourth waiver claim in a 12-team AL-only league. I need pitching help, and Danny Duffy just got dropped. Should I claim Duffy or wait to see who might come over at the trade deadline? I have plenty of offense.
Yeah, I think given that the trade deadline's coming soon and that's a pretty high waiver priority. Wait a second. AL-only league. Never mind.
You got to take Duffy,
right? Get Duffy. Yeah. I was thinking mixed league.
Tim asks us to rank these shortstops in Roto going forward. Alcides Escobar, Johnny Peralta, Danny Santana. Roto.
Peralta, Escobar, Santana, and I'm going to check my rankings and make sure that I actually agree with that.
If not, get the circle out.
Yeah. Yep.
Mine do. Mine agree with that. And with Al.
Peralta, Escobar, Santana?
Yep.
Al, what's the verdict?
Yep.
Yeah, all right.
I have Escobar one spot. Oh, no, I'm looking at head-to-head.
Put it on hold.
Blew it.
What's it going to be, Al?
I'm a little slow with the mouse here, so you may want to keep the show moving along.
No, I'll do it myself. Danny Santana for Al. All right, you go. Escobar.
Escobar, Peralta.
Peralta, Santana.
Santana in Roto, but very close.
From Garrett, grade the trade, head-to-head categories league. I give up Frazier and Cueto. I get Adam Jones and Max Scherzer.
Frazier and Cueto for Scherzer and Jones.
That's an A.
That is a...
I was going to give it a B+.
I'm
going to
give it
hardest.
An A minus. He's got to leave some room.
I think it's pretty close trade.
What? Really?
Yeah, I do. I don't know that Jones is that much... When you factor in position scarcity, I mean, Jones is better than Frazier, Scherzer is better than Cueto, okay. But it's not like it's a landslide either half of the deal. I don't know. I'll give it a B.
All right, it's a fair point.
Yeah.
Scott's such a tough grader.
Yeah.
The teacher assistant today.
Listen, if you take anything away from this podcast, Bryce Harper's not a sour person. And I don't know where that whole conversation was like dumb sports writer. We're like trying to
trying to decide what kind of person Bryce Harper is. No, none of us have met him.
Not what kind of person. I'm not saying he's a bad person. I just think that there are some distractions with him.
Yeah.
You know? Like Puig. I was a little worried about Puig, and that, I guess, was stupid. He's had a great year. He's a great player. And they say he's getting better with all of his mental gaffes and things like that.
I think their media created distractions partially, because I think if you give just about any 21-year-old a chance to talk about that many things, like always sticking a microphone in his face, asking him what he thinks, he's going to say some stupid things.
Especially if you ask him clown questions.
Yeah, exactly.
And obviously Harper has a lot of attention, so he's getting more of it than most 21-year-olds probably would. So,
well, I didn't say those types of things when I was 21, Scott.
I can't say that I didn't. I said some stupid things.
I never said anything
stupid. You
waited
until you were 29.
Yes, I saved it all for my future on-air days. All right, we're done. We'll grade some more trades tomorrow. Have a good one, everybody. See you later.